Hey there, hi there, ho there, Inklings, and welcome back to Catamompus Readings, the podcast where beginnings and introductions are looked at with intense nostalgia, but judged ruthlessly on their content. Today, I thought I would take a look at a couple classics that some in my generation got to know very well, but the younger folks might only know them by name. The first book in the Little House series, Little House in the Big Woods, was published by Laura Ingalls Wilder in 1932, but it's eclipsed by the 1935 sequel, Little House on the Prairie, which we'll be looking at today. I think it's important to note that when writing this story, the author made it clear that it was an autobiographical fiction, and some details were changed just to keep the story interesting, rather than deliver a message to follow a theme. In 1974, the TV series by the same name was started, and by the time I was born in 1991, Little House on the Prairie was a fading childhood staple. This was a title that everyone knew about and most people had read, but it wasn't as popular as it had once been. For those of you who might not know much about the series, The Little House on the Prairie is summarized like so. Pa Ingalls decides to sell the little log house, and the family sets out for Indian country. They travel from Wisconsin to Kansas, and there, finally, Pa builds their little house on the prairie. Sometimes farm life is difficult, even dangerous, but Laura and her family are kept busy and are happy with the promise of their new life on the prairie. The second book we're looking at is similar, and I'd like to see how they compare. Sarah Plain and Tall was published in 1985 by Patricia McLaughlin, and it hones in on themes of loneliness and coping with change. Like Little House, Sarah Plain and Tall is based loosely on the memories of the author, though not always her own. In a number of interviews, Mrs. McLaughlin stated that she was setting down a story that would say what words could not, remembering her own childhood and her mother's stories. Again, for those of you who don't know Sarah from Adam, here's the summary. Sarah Plain and Tall tells the story of how Sarah Elizabeth Wheaton comes from Maine to the prairie to answer Papa's advertisement for a wife and mother. Before Sarah arrives, Anna and her younger brother Caleb wait and wonder. Will Sarah be nice? Will she sing? Will she stay? So, though these stories were written for very different reasons, they have much of the same feeling, and I'd like to compare how each one begins. I'd like to keep in mind that, while Little House on the Prairie has come to represent the purity and pain of childhood and learning, Sarah Plain and Tall is the story of an adult woman told by children, rather than a child's story told by a child. The first concerns growing up. The second concerns understanding adults. At least, that's my impression, and it's interesting to me that I should draw that differentiation where maybe someone else might have other differences to point out. I'd be interested to know how you Inklings think about how these two compare. So, without further rambling, let's dig into our first intro. Little House on the Prairie by Laura Ingalls Wilder. Chapter 1. Going West. A long time ago, when all the grandfathers and grandmothers of today were little boys and little girls, or very small babies, or perhaps not even born, Pa and Ma and Mary and Laura and baby Carrie left their little house in the big woods of Wisconsin. They drove away and left it lonely and empty in the clearing among the big trees, and they never saw that little house again. They were going to the Indian country. Pa said there were too many people in the big woods now. Quite often, Laura would hear the ringing thud of an axe that was not Pa's axe, or the echo of a shot that did not come from his gun. The path that went by the little house had become a road. Almost every day, Laura and Mary stopped their playing and stared in surprise at a wagon slowly creaking by on that road. Wild animals would not stay in a country where there were so many people. Pa did not like to stay either. He liked a country where the wild animals lived without being afraid, He liked to see the little fawns and their mothers looking out at him from the shadowy woods, and the fat, lazy bears eating berries in the wild berry patches. In the long winter evenings, he talked to Ma about the western country. In the west, the land was level, and there were no trees. The grass grew thick and high. There, the wild animals wandered and fed as though they were in a great pasture that stretched much further than a man could see, and there were no settlers. Only Indians lived there. One day, in the very last of the winter, Pa said to Ma,
"Seeing you don't object, I've decided to go and see the West. I've had an offer for this place, and we can sell it now for as much as we'll ever likely to get, enough to give us a start in a new country."
"Oh, Charles, must we go now?" Ma said. The weather was so cold and the snug house was so comfortable.
"If we're gonna go this year, we must go now," said Pa. "We can't get across the Mississippi after the ice breaks."
So, Pa sold the house. He sold the cow and the calf. He made hickory bows and fastened them upright to the wagon box. Ma helped him stretch white canvas over them. In the thin dark before morning, Ma gently shook Mary and Laura until they got up. In firelight and candlelight, she washed and combed them and dressed them warmly. Over their long red flannel underwear, she put wool petticoats and wool dresses and long wool stockings. She put their coats on them and their rabbit skin hoods and their red yarn mittens. Everything from the little house was in the wagon, except the beds and the tables and the chairs. They did not need to take these because Pa could always make new ones. There was thin snow on the ground. The air was still and cold and dark. The bare trees stood up against the frosty stars. But in the east, the sky was pale, and through the gray woods came lanterns with wagons and horses, bringing Grandma and Grandpa and aunts and uncles and cousins. Mary and Laura clung tight to their rag dolls and did not say anything. The cousins stood around and looked at them. Grandma and all the aunts hugged and kissed them and hugged and kissed them again, saying goodbye. As far as introductions go, we've got the world and the main character pretty well nailed down, although the main character, Laura, refers to herself in the third person, so it's difficult to tell who's speaking unless one has prior knowledge of the series. There's a lot of good stuff packed in here, though, and I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 5 for comprehension, losing out on the 2 missing stars for a lack of engagement and minimal interaction. Then again, keeping in mind the purpose of the book was to share a story rather than direct the reader's thoughts to a specific message, perhaps engagement isn't a metric we should even measure when it comes to this specific work. Once I start questioning things like that, though, it's a quick spiral into literary critical theory and whether or not the intent of the author is worth considering, and I almost always say it is, so you won't ever hear me supporting the death of the author theory. To be succinct, death of the author basically states that it's not what the author meant to say, but rather what the reader understands of the text that matters. So whether or not Mrs. Wilder intended to engage me as a reader, the fact that she didn't counts against her text. As an author, I do not like this. So maybe I should bump the rating up to 4 out of 5 since she wasn't actually seeking to engage me? Our next work is Sarah Plain and Tall, which is part of a series like Little House. The introduction reads like this. Sarah Plain and Tall by Patricia McLaughlin. Chapter 1. "Did Mama sing every day?" asked Caleb. "Every single day?" He sat close to the fire, his chin on his hand. It was dusk, and the dogs lay beside him on the warm hearthstones. "Every single day," I told him, "for the second time this week, for the 20th time this month, for the 100th time this year, the past few years." "And did Papa sing too?" "Yes, Papa sang too. Don't get so close, Caleb, you'll heat up." He pushed his chair back. It made a hollow scraping sound on the hearthstones, and the dogs stirred. Lottie, small and black, wagged her tail and lifted her head. Nick slept on. I turned the bread dough over and over on the marble slab on the kitchen table.
Papa doesn't sing anymore, said Caleb very softly. A log broke apart and crackled in the fireplace. He looked up at me. What did I look like when I was born? You didn't have any clothes on, I told him. I know that, he said. You looked like this. I held up the bread dough in a round, pale ball. I had hair, said Caleb seriously. Not enough to talk about, I said. And she named me Caleb, he went on, filling in the old familiar story. I would have named you Troublesome, I said, making Caleb smile. And Mama handed me to you in a yellow blanket and said... He waited for me to finish the story. And said... I sighed. And Mama said, isn't he beautiful, Anna? And I was, Caleb finished. Caleb thought the story was over, but I didn't tell him what I had really thought. He was homely and plain, and he had a terrible holler and a horrid smell. But these were not the worst of him. Mama died the next morning. That was the worst thing about Caleb. Isn't he beautiful, Anna? Her last words to me. I had gone to bed thinking how wretched he looked. And I forgot to say goodnight. I wiped my hands on my apron and went to the window. Outside, the prairie reached out and touched the places where the sky came down. Though winter was nearly over, there were patches of snow and ice everywhere. I looked at the long dirt road that crawled across the plains, remembering the morning that Mama had died, cruel and sunny. They had come for her in a wagon and taken her away to be buried. And then the cousins and aunts and uncles had come and tried to fill up the house. But they couldn't. Slowly, one by one, they left. And then the days seemed long and dark, like winter days, even though it wasn't winter. And Papa didn't sing. Isn't he beautiful, Anna? No, Mama. It was hard to think of Caleb as beautiful. It took 3 whole days for me to love him, sitting in the chair by the fire, Papa washing up the supper dishes, Caleb's tiny hand brushing my cheek, and a smile. It was the smile, I know. Even though these books have similar settings, they're in a similar time and about similar families, one presents an abstract account of events, while the other focuses on a feeling. It wasn't just an evening in the house when Anna was telling Caleb stories, it was the feeling of missing their mother and wishing she'd said goodnight, and resenting her little brother for taking her mother away. Where Little House on the Prairie starts with a scene describing this big change happened in our life. Sarah Plain and Tall starts with a scene that says these are the people that lived through the change. In both cases, the change is important. It's the fulcrum on which the story turns. But why it's important is different, and I think that's what makes the message of one more pointed than the message of the other. I'd give this introduction a pretty solid 4 out of 5, maybe even a 4.5, because of the tight focus on these characters, and it just pulls me into the story a way that descriptions of a setting very rarely do. These older stories from before I was born make me almost nostalgic for a time I never experienced. Though I tell myself I would be extremely bored without the internet or a local library, still, that fantasy of living in a time when studying literary criticism would have been something for rich people, it appeals to me sometimes. That's all for now, Inklings. We can dig into some more Lit Crit next week with an exploration of The Book of Three by Lloyd Alexander. The random question of the day is, if you could live in the world of a book, movie, show, or game for a week, where would you go? And would you be a part of the story that that book, movie, show, or game was telling you about? Until next time, my friends, stay warm and dry, try not to work yourselves too hard, and remember that you are deeply appreciated. This has been your host, Inkfire, and you have been a wonderful audience. I'll see you on the other side.